Are you ready to chat? Call Will and Tony now, 607-414-CHAT.
My teacher is telling my second grader about gender. Should I call the school?
I'm having a huge struggle with eating too much, and I'm not sure how to stop.
My spouse seems to be changing her priorities, and I'm worried.
Yeah, we're fighting the digital battle in our house. I never can seem to make progress, and I'm not sure what to do.
Welcome to Let's Chat with Will and Tony.
Focusing on what matters and ditching what doesn't.
Now, here's Will Kesley and Tony Pack.
Welcome back, Tony. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
I always love this. Focusing on what matters and ditching what don't.
That's right. Get rid of all that stuff in your life that doesn't matter. We're talking about how to make it happen.
Is that like wrong English?
I don't know.
Focusing on what matters and ditching what don't.
I think it's good for this southeastern Bonneville kid.
That's kind of how we feel about things, Tony and I. You just kind of can't get to our personality here. We're like, let's focus on things that are going to matter, because the other stuff,
it's not worth it. Life's too short.
Really?
Yeah, right? Life's too short to be hanging on to all this baggage and to.
You got people that argue over stuff. It's like, what? My wife and I have this little saying in our own family: is if it's going to affect our eternal salvation, then we dig in and get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, really dig in.
Right. If it's not going to get to the bottom of
it, don't sweat it.
Let it go.
I agree.
She wants to go buy 4 pairs of shoes. Oh, well, go buy 4 boots. Right.
You're going to need them for our eternal winter out
right,
here.
Right. I mean, I understand that that's always that a lot of people argue over money and things of that nature. Yeah. But really, we're hanging on to things that are so earthly, if you will, and they're so meaningless. Yeah. Right. We're going to argue over things. We're going to argue over, you know, opinion. And none of this is going to actually matter down the road.
Yeah. None of it matters in the end when it comes down to it. You mentioned this a couple shows ago where you said, you know, when it came down, you talked about your story of having cancer.
Yeah.
And you got down to that point where you thought that this was the end.
You're dead within minutes. Yep.
The only thing you think about is your family and your relationships. Right?
That was it.
That's all you got.
And that's why my attitude towards it, I think, is so much different. I've had that experience. I've gotten to touch that veil. And I realize not everybody gets to, so you have to kind of maybe just trust me. But I'm going to tell you, we put a lot of effort into things that really do not matter. However, the effort you put into your family and the effort you put into your spouse and those relationships, they matter. At that very moment, there was nothing that was of a concern to me whatsoever. You hear people say that all the time, right? It's like, yeah, and you don't see anybody that gets on their deathbed and says, gee, I wish I would have worked more. It's true, though. That's the weird part.
So, I get it. I'm with you.
So how do we stop the insanity, right? And how do you put some controls on life so that you can find the joy in it and focus on the things that matter, and let's ditch what doesn't?
Well, and I think one of the things I want to really talk about in this show is how to get through those challenges. Because, you know, we all know life isn't a bed of roses. I mean, you get out there and there's legitimate challenges.
Yep.
I mean, everybody that I know that has, you know, been through life and is wonderfully happy and out there, when you get talking to them, most of them have had very significant challenges.
Isn't that the truth, though?
Right?
Yeah.
Very significant challenges.
Very significant.
And they've figured out a way to come out that other side of those challenges and still have that great joy in their heart, right?
So why are we so afraid of challenges? Why are we so afraid of adversity? Why are we so afraid of
hardships?
Right?
That's what I want to dig in today, because so often we're all out there trying to remove hardships from our lives.
Yeah, we don't want them.
You know, and I'm not saying they're pleasant. We should seek out a hardship, but
I got that way.
what, seeking out hardships?
After having the cancer thing and trying to die from that, I got to the point where I was kind of like, bring it on.
Yeah.
You know, is this the best you got for me? You're going to take me. And every time I do that, God would send another calamity. And my wife would be, see, now stop it.
Now stop.
And I get through that. I'm open heart surgery. And I'm like, that's all you got? Bring it on. My wife's like, stop.
We don't need any more.
We don't need
any
more of this one.
But I think that's an important thing, is what the people that I have known in my life that have true joy, they've gone through the hardships and they've figured out that way to go through. So what I want to pick your brain on today, Will,
is
how to have that mental and emotional, I'll call it resiliency,
yeah,
to make it through the challenge, to help let that challenge then round you out and then come out on the other side of that challenge a better person, with a deeper joy and a deeper sense of life.
So that's what happens. And this is why I think the new buzzword is resiliency.
Okay.
Right? It's not about enduring. It's not about putting up with. It's not about ignoring. It's not about, I'm going to make this choice. It's about being resilient.
Yeah.
And you think, look at it this way. Navy SEALs, if you get into their training, part of that whole training program is to break down that soldier to a point where
they, almost complete breakdown.
Yeah, right. They want him to be dead, right? And yeah. they'll put him to the brink of that. Why? They're trying to develop up emotional resiliency. They want to get them so they're so broken, so fatigued, so tired that they then start to crumble emotionally and then they crumble physically and that weeds them out. Now, what's the point of that? One, they're trying to determine who has it. But more importantly, what they're trying to do is when that person makes it through that, on the other end, they feel like a warrior.
Yeah, they feel like they can conquer anything.
Anything. And
there's
you go into war and things change on you and it's not the way you thought it was going to be, et cetera. Nothing beats training. I'm a pilot.
Yeah.
And I got to do one of my bucket lists this a couple weeks ago. I have built my own airplane 29 years.
No, I remember. Yeah. I've seen your airplane. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. 29 years. And that's because...
Now, I don't know if I'd want to fly in something I built. but I'm with you.
So 29 years. And that's because, I had kids and we had Little League and we had other priorities along the way. And there were years, like 8 years at a time that I wouldn't do anything on it. I finally got to that bucket list. On my bucket list when I was 16, I put down, I want to build and fly my own airplane. And so a couple Saturdays ago...
Day to do it.
I flew that airplane. And I got to tell you, it was a beautiful experience to have gone through all that hardship to get there and then to fly it and get through that fear of flying an airplane you built from plans, not even a kit, right? There's so many things that could be wrong here. But what I found myself when I first took off, I had issues with the plane immediately when I took off.
Yeah.
It was like, we're not getting enough power here. A lot of handful of things coming out.
Yeah. And that's a tough thing when you're in the air, right?
Right. Now you're up in the air and I'm thinking, I'm going to pull the power back and land back on the runway. And about that point, I'm like, I'm out of runway. Apparently I'm going to be flying today.
Wow.
What happened was I found that all the years of other trials, all the pilot training, how many times I had thought through this first flight.
Everything just started kicking in for you?
Everything started. And it was like, oh, okay, I got to do this, got to do that. It was just mechanical. When it got done, I could have been completely flustered from it. And I actually sat there going, okay, I got a handful of squawks I need to work on this airplane. I don't understand it. But there was a part of it that was so fulfilling. And what made it fulfilling was the trial to get there.
Yeah.
And the experiences I had to go through to get there. So that when the trial really came, I took that plane off, I didn't feel the panic. I mean, there wasn't panic. It was calm. I called the tower, said I need another runway. I'm not able to maintain, altitude.
Yeah.
My wife on the ground is going, what the heck? He's going to crash. And I'm going, I got this. But I've never in my life felt that way. Honestly, I've always had that trepidation about something. And I got to this one and went, something's different.
Mm-hmm.
Why was this different? And I think as I look back, it's the resiliency I've picked up by doing other very difficult things.
Yeah, it's that.
And having the confidence I could do that as well.
Yeah, I like that thought of you got to a point where you'd built up the, continue with the word resiliency, the point where when something was thrown at you, you now had that ability to adapt and adjust and then conquer. So my wife and I love survival shows. We love these, like Alone and, Survivor.
Please tell me not Naked and Alone. That's the stupidest show ever.
So the Alone is the one where they send, you have equipment and everything. Mm-hmm. They send you out and they just leave you and you're all alone. You're like legitimately alone out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
my kind of world.
And these individuals have to just figure it out. They get to take five items or something like that. So they have their axe and their knife. And
chewing gum, a Snickers bar.
And a, sleeping bag. And then they're up in the
my remote control.
Yeah, that's right. No remote control, but they're up there, right? And the funny thing is you watch the series of shows, these same individuals keep coming back. And the only place they feel alive is out on these shows challenging themselves. And they put themselves through serious physical and mental stress.
But they found that thing that made them come alive.
But it makes them come alive, And so I think if we looked at our life challenges similar to these individuals, those challenges are the things that are that offset to make us feel alive. As you come out the other side of those and you learn to deal with those, you learn to adapt in life and you learn to adjust to the change. There is nothing like that sense of accomplishment of when you've taken on a tough thing, come out the other side and you're better for it.
Right. Absolutely.
Because it gives you that sense of fulfillment.
Right. And there's a strength that comes with that, a confidence that comes with it, but you can't get if your life has been watered down and every obstacle taken in front of you. And we need to revert that back to parents with children.
Yeah.
We're seeing that today, moms and dads. You're trying to take away everything that might be difficult for your child because you don't want them to hurt. You don't want them to struggle. You don't want them to lose.
And you're taking away their ability to be resilient.
Yeah, you're stealing their ability to learn resiliency. Yep. When they're at home, when it's safe, and they have a mom and dad that loves them and holds them and cries with them. Instead, you wait for them to go out on their own, and they've never been told no before.
Yeah, and then they break down. They've hit that first big challenge in life, and they're a complete mess. Yep. Complete breakdown.
So today we're going to talk about emotional and resiliency.
Yeah, resiliency.
Because
how to get through and adapt.
Life is not getting easier.
No.
So we got to get more resilient, which means we got to get tougher.
We got a little tougher.
We got to become Navy SEALs.
And that doesn't mean ignore your emotions tougher. No. That means being able to deal with your emotions.
Because you have more experience. Yep. It's all about your experience. The more you learn. So I have one little motto that I keep in my mind as we dig into this. You can either become better or you become bitter. Mm. And anything in your life. When I got cancer, my wife said to me, well, honey, you can become better or you can get bitter. Which one's it going to be? And that's an interesting thing, right? I could look at it and say, why me? Why is this happening to me? How come I have to go through this? How come this is so hard? Why did God make... You know what? Yeah, never happened.
Any illness is that same way, right?
I had to stop and go, I've got this for a reason. I want to get better from it. Not most better from healing. I want to get better as a person.
Yeah.
And what do I need to do? So it helped me build some resiliency to other challenges that were coming down the pipeline.
Like open heart surgery.
Et cetera. Yeah. Right? All right. We got more of that coming up.
Wow.
And some details about how we're going to work on resiliency and some of the things to watch out for, some of the pitfalls on the way with Let's Chat. I'm Will. That's Tony. We'll be back in two.
Now, here's Will Kesley and Tony Pack.
Alrighty-dighty, welcome back. I'm
Here
Will.
Here we are. I'm Tony.
And this is called Let's Chat with Will and Tony. We talk about the things that matter and we ditch what don't.
That's right. Everything in life that we're dealing with, and we're all dealing with it.
Yeah. We're on the same bucket. We're in the same boat, on the same island, standing on the same rock.
That's right.
Just because we're on the radio don't mean we don't stand on the same rocks everybody else stands
on. Yeah, we're right there with everybody. I mean, we're dealing with stuff.
By the way, if you'd like to join the show, you can give us a call at 607-414-CHAT. 607-414-CHAT.
Or you can email us at letschatwithwillandtony@gmail.com.
It's a long phrase, Let's Chat with Will and Tony.
It's the commitment.
But that's what we're looking for, right? It's like, you know, let's make it so like, I want you to think that... Want that question answered so badly, you'll type that entire phrase.
That's right.
That's how we roll. So, Tony, today we are talking about resiliency and how does that affect our lives and why is it missing in a lot of people's lives and how do you get it?
Yeah, I like that. And we were talking in that last segment that ability to adapt, right? And I think that you had talked about your airplane story. All the learning you'd done there, the challenges you'd done there, the things you had to learn, the training you went through.
And then I took off, and it didn't fly like I was supposed to, and I had to
adapt. You had to adapt. I think that's a good model for what we're talking about, is how do you build an ability to be resilient? It's practice. It's like anything. I mean, it's the same thing with my lacrosse team. So, as we know, I'm going up to state championship this weekend.
You go big.
With my lacrosse team.
You go big, Tony.
I'm excited.
Get a state championship.
But... every single game I go into with my players, they deal with challenges. They deal with a different defense. They deal with more intense players. They deal with somebody that's like really hounding them with the ball. And without the challenges that we put them through practice all year long and that muscle memory that we've driven into them.
Learning they could run that long.
Learning that they can run. Learning how to move. Learning how to play through the pain when somebody else is hitting them with a stick, right? Mm-hmm. Without that practice and that ability and that resilience that we built with that team, they would crumble. And we've seen teams we've played crumble at times when the pressure gets too hard on them and they just fall apart emotionally and there goes their game. And my own team has had that occasionally where they lose it. Now, the more you practice those scenarios and the more you get those things that you want them to be able to deal with, practiced in there so it's muscle memory. Now they hit those challenges on the field, you see them adapt, and they'll take what looks like a set play in practice, they'll adapt it, morph it just right for the circumstances, and now we're
lock and load,
moving along.
So when we talk about resiliency, the reason why adaptability is on the frontmost part of this list to become resilient is because it adaptability would be something that if you can master in your life, you will actually be able to find joy in life. Now here's the point to that. If you go through life and adaptability is not your bacon, you're probably a pretty upset person.
Yep.
Because life is going to bring you lots of opportunities.
Yeah, you're constantly, every expectation you have is going to be blown away if you can't adapt.
One of the biggest issues we find with the top three issues in marriages that fail.
Okay.
One or both don't have the ability to adapt and be happy at the same time.
All right.
Think about it. I got to adapt to this. I don't want to adapt to this. It's all about me. I'm not happy. I'm not just, and it's all me-itis.
This is what it should be like. This wasn't my vision of a perfect marriage.
This was not my expectation.
You know, I didn't expect to have a husband who got paralyzed, you know, 3 years in and, you know,
or he has stinky breath in the morning and these kids with diapers. I thought, you know, yes. What happens is we set ourselves up for failure because we set ourselves up for expectations that aren't realistic, number one. Look, I lived in Thailand for a couple of years, and I watched these kids in Thailand. You know, they don't have houses. They don't have shoes. They don't have a car. They don't have a chance at a college education. But you know what? They were happy.
Yeah, they're excited. They run around, big smiles on their faces.
They didn't know any better, right? That was their world. They could be happy. What we live in today's society is we look around us and go, oh, but so-and-so's got this. And look on Facebook, so-and-so's on a trip to New Zealand. And my husband doesn't make that kind of money. And so we're not, stop.
Yeah,
the insanity.
One of my favorite quotes out there is, comparison is the thief of joy.
Absolutely. Compare and ranking.
Yeah.
How do I rank and how do I compare?
Which is how you get those unrealistic expectations, which, you know, we talk on the show day in, day out about social media and some of the dangers there.
Pitfalls of it.
And that's one of those key pitfalls of that social media is you're looking around and you're artificially establishing this expectation with everything you see on this is what I should have, mm-hmm. this is what I should be like.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you fall short to that ideal, now you're unhappy and you're dissatisfied with life.
I'd like to see a social media site that showed nothing but your failures, nothing but your struggles. Here's my biggest struggle today. My dog had diarrhea and so did my kid. And look, it's all over the kitchen floor. I want to see that one.
Yeah. And then you go.
You walk away going, that didn't happen to me today. I'm feeling good.
I feel pretty good. That's right. Right.
So the gift of adaptability is one that will take you from so many places. But if even to stay inside relationships for a minute.
Okay.
Within a marriage, if you don't have the ability to be adaptable and happy, they have to come together. So many people say, yeah, I adapt. I'm the one who always has. I always have to never have resentment. That is not a gift.
Correct.
You're still resentful, right? You're just lying about your adaptability. Adaptability says you're okay with life to the place where you can say, yeah, let's change that and I can still be happy with it. Right? And that's where we get into problems. And that starts from selfishness and greed. So when you talk about resiliency, one of the problems we get into, here's an example. You know how to, by the way, do you know how to catch monkeys? True story.
Okay, let me hear it.
I know.
This is in Thailand.
This is in Thailand.
Okay.
I watched them catch monkeys. And monkeys are easy to catch. They take a box, and at the top of the box, they cut a hole just big enough for them to put their hand through and their arm through. And in the bottom of the box, they'll put a banana in it. And the monkey will walk up, stick his hand in that box, grab the banana, and can't get his hand back out of the box. And the box is chained to the ground.
Unwilling to let go of the banana.
Will not let go of the banana. You can walk up and cut the monkey's head off, and it will not let go of that stinking banana and run.
Wow.
Because I'm not going to adapt. My greed has got a hold of me. I got a banana in my hand and I'll lose my whole life. All my happiness will go out the window because of greed.
Yeah. And
think about,
you know, obviously it's the, you know, representative banana of whatever it is in your life that you're holding on to
so tight
that you're willing to sacrifice the rest of your life over it.
So we talked about adaptability and resilience. You first got to ask yourself is what things do you hang on to so tight that you're unwilling to adapt from? To find happiness or to live another day. Like you don't have to win every battle to win the war.
Correct.
But people are, I got to have everyone. It's that greed. We hang on to some things way, way too tight.
Yeah. And I think that is one of those, when you get into the way life throws at you and these challenges that come at you, a lot of times you feel that resentment because you're like, why isn't my life the way it should be?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't things going how I designed them? And then you
therefore,
almost hold on to the resentment as this little
token
that you want to carry around because
I'm
a victim of my circumstances versus taking that challenge, taking that trial, whatever you want to call it, and put it in its right
content
and get
better, right?
And learn from it.
Yeah. And think of some of those things. They could be anything from I lost my job to I've gained a bunch of weight and I look like a porky pig. To you. Yeah, I mean, losing all your hair.
I'm not losing all my hair. That's the problem. I'm growing hair in places I don't want to be growing hair in.
But you think about all the things in life that we could just look at and say, we failed. Yeah. I don't see. Yeah, we'll use that word periodically, but honestly, in life, there are no failures. I want to think about it.
Mm.
You're not failing. You're experiencing. What happens is we want to condemn ourselves by saying, oh, we did that and it didn't work. I failed at that. You didn't fail at it. What you gained, it was an opportunity to learn from.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know,
that's how you get resilience.
At the heart of everything you've learned in life, it started with something that you didn't know how to do, and you tried, and you failed, and you tried, and you failed, and then you learned. I mean, think about how you learn to walk, right?
Look at baseball. How many times when you were a 4-year-old kid could you hit the ball?
Zero.
Right. And then you worked on it, and you got to 5 years old, 6, 7, and you became more resilient. But baseball is, that's like life. We get up and we get to the dime and we park the ball. Sometimes you'll whiff it. And that doesn't mean you failed and you struck out. Hopefully you've learned by each one of those swings and it's gotten you closer to the one you can hit out of the park. Babe Ruth, interesting story. The guy's known for home runs, right?
Yeah. Also one of the highest strikeout players
ever. He also has one of the highest, highest strikeout. But who talks about that?
No way. Because he hit tons of home runs.
That's it. All they want to see see your victories. And that's when we talk about emotional resilience or just resilience in your life against hard things, two things pop out. One, you've got to become adaptable. Allow for adaptability and enjoy the experience of the change.
Yep.
And you've got to let go of greed.
Well, let's talk about that. You mentioned a word that I love, and I talk to my boys all about it, is the ability to do hard things.
Yep.
And I think at the core of this emotional resilience that we're talking about is that getting through hard things. And a lot of times it's putting yourself in situations where you got to do something hard. Building an airplane isn't easy. Going and playing a sport isn't easy. Signing up for that, you know, piano lesson that you're scared that you might not be able to know how to play piano. Those things aren't easy. Mm-hmm. They stretch you. They push you. Going and lifting weights in a gym.
How about jumping out of an airplane?
Not easy.
How many people are afraid of that?
Lots.
So here's the challenge. Take something in your life, Tony, and look at it and say, what am I afraid of? What things am I fearful of? What things do I dream at night? Like I just don't want to have happened in real life. Because those are the kind of things we're talking about as well. You get confidence in life and resiliency when you go and do it and find out it wasn't that bad.
So a little interesting story here. The other day I was part of the Leaders in Nuclear Energy forum that was over at College Eastern Idaho. And I was given a little keynote speech about the place in which I worked. There was another individual on it. Sorry, I wish I remembered Bubba. His name, Bubba. Mm-hmm. But he was up there. He's one of the leaders at the INL. And there was a panel of high school kids talking to him. And they were asking him about his career and how his career progressed. And this individual spoke to, there's two or three times in his career that he took a risk. He stepped into the unknown and he was scared. He was worried that how is this going to work out? This is a big personal risk in my life. But he took that step into the dark. He took that opportunity and he, in retrospect now, he looks back and he was advising these high school kids of take the risk. Put yourself in a place where you're worried, but you're going to do it anyway. Because you want to succeed.
You've got to believe that taking risks will get you glory. And that's, we're afraid of that. We're like, well, if we take a risk, what if we fail? You can't fail. You can only learn. Experience, right? Yep. And that means you're going to learn from it. That same thing, get up to the ball plate. You may strike out every time, but it's only going to take a little bit of time before you figure out how to hit the ball. But you'll never hit the ball and enjoy the victory of hitting the ball.
Unless you're up there swinging
at it. So in your life,
I love that.
One of the things we want to talk about resiliency is to try something. Try something new in your life. Put something on that bucket list.
Right, get out and do something you've always wanted to do, but you're nervous you can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Or afraid
Go
of
do it.
Or afraid of it. Get the training around it and see how that feels for you.
Yeah, everything I love to do in life, at one point I was nervous about doing it.
But when you get talking about getting resilient, you also got to get rid of self-pity. You got to get rid of a lot of other negative things in your life. We're going to go through a list of those things.
I like that. And let's talk about those.
You're going to ask yourself, how many of these things do I do? Because you could be submarining yourself from being fantastic. And that's what we're all about here.
About right? Being fantastic.
Yep. Bodacious.
Bodacious.
Funky crazy.
Live life to the fullest.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're going to do. And then we're going to talk about what you do to destroy it here next. It's Let's Chat with Will and Tony on News Talk 107.9. Back in a few.